And we're back with an episode of the MDM Podcast. Joe Morales, Chad Rosenstrog with you here on this Tuesday afternoon following yet another Jet loss. We did the Giants yesterday, and we'll now move on to the Jets after they lose to New Orleans 30-9. And first of all, Chad, how you doing, buddy?
I'm very good. How are you, Joe?
Well, I'm good, man. After the Giants loss on Sunday, you know, that yesterday's show was tough. And, I mean, this one might be tough for you.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, it's yet another embarrassing loss to a Saints team that's, I guess you can use the term, in free fall. Now, they haven't really been dealt the easy set of cards. They lose Winston. They lose Kamara for a long period of time. They lost five in a row, I believe, until this game. So they haven't been dealt the best set of cards. But this is a very winnable game. They're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. And the way the Jets laid down and died in front of them is embarrassing. They had a quarterback in Taysom Hill coming to MetLife Stadium who physically could not throw the ball. He played injured. I think it was his ring finger.
It was a dislocated finger.
All taped up. He only threw the ball 21 times, and they got blown out by this guy. So they had a quarterback who was not immobile, but couldn't throw the ball. They were essentially playing without a quarterback yesterday.
Yeah, and the Jets all day got beat by the run game and Kamara and Taysom Hill. And going into the game, you knew it was going to be the two guys on offense and Hill and Kamara doing all of the heavy lifting for the Saints team that doesn't have great receivers with, again, the loss of Michael Thomas, which was big coming into the year, had a setback out for the year. And Kamara's been out for a couple of weeks, so they did a two running back rotation. I forgot the other running back's name. But
Tony Jones Jr.
Yeah, but the Jets got killed by the run game in this one. And I actually thought they fared well in the first half, only giving up 10 points. And they ended the first half only down by, I believe, a field goal or a touchdown. It was only a one-score game, and the second half, they fell apart, and the guy who I thought played well throughout the whole game was C.J. Mosley, who's been inconsistent throughout the whole year, and he made tackles left and right, and he was actually able to cover the tight end this week.
No, you did, and you mentioned how it was a one-score game going into halftime.
Yes.
10-6, right?
10-6.
10-6, yes. And, I mean, you look at the first half, and as a neutral fan, I'm watching this as if the Jets should be winning right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they started the game with three straight three and outs. Multiple times, Ty Johnson forgets how to catch the ball. It happened more than once, too. And it was a common theme throughout the day, whether it was Braxton Berrios or there was Ty Johnson. It always seemed there was a receiver there to drop an important ball, and it really got into him early in the first half.
Now, it was very crucial coming into this game for Wilson to establish a run game, which he couldn't because Ty Johnson and LaMichael Pirine did nothing. And the receivers couldn't get open earlier in the game, especially with
also,
the injuries.
They were only playing with two running backs also. No Michael Carter and no Tevin Coleman.
And Austin Walter.
Early scratch. Yeah.
Scratch with the illness. But the receivers didn't help Wilson. But in the situations where Wilson could have helped out himself, they tried to play the short game, screens, handoffs. Wilson couldn't make the easy throw. And that's been an issue for Wilson, to say the least, coming into this week. And Wilson, inaccurate, having, I believe, 40% throwing, and that he got helped out in that number in the last drive in garbage time. But Wilson could not make the easy throw at all. And coming out of BYU, we all knew that the accuracy was there for Wilson, and that was one of the main reasons why we drafted him, because when Darnold came out, he was very inconsistent when throwing the ball and had a low completion percentage. Wilson, on the other hand, had a high completion percentage. And it's a little bit concerning that the completion percentage numbers are so low for Wilson.
Right, and I'll get to Wilson in a second because there's a lot to talk about Wilson, and then there's a few things the Jets have done wrong as an organization with Wilson. We'll get to that one second. But you mentioned the receivers. First of all, the big one that stands out to me is Jamison Crowder, only with three receptions yesterday. Yeah. With no Elijah Moore, Corey Davis is done for the year. Jamison Crowder needs to be the number one receiver, and this year, he's been completely non-existent, just nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and Jamison Crowder with Darnold, as we alluded to before, he was actually a top target for Sam Darnold, and he's supposed to be the safety blanket if the play breaks down. Jamison Crowder's Zach Wilson's guy, and he just hasn't been there. And another cause for concern for me is that going into the second half, his two outside receivers, which was Denzel Mims and Keelan Cole, had zero receptions going into that second half. And that was even a cause for concern that Zach Wilson's not completing the ball And you can argue that it was Wilson's fault not making the easy throws. And you could argue that it was the receiver's fault because they weren't getting open. And when they did get open, they dropped the ball. And the Jets lead the league and drop passes, which definitely does not help out the rookie quarterback.
I mean, Keeley Cole only had one reception. Yeah. They targeted him five or six times, only one reception.
Yeah.
I mean, that's completely unacceptable. And Mims doesn't get a lot of playing time.
No.
And you know what? Earlier in the year, I made a big stink about it. I mean, the guy actually gets on the field yesterday, and what does he do? I mean, the first one, he gets called for a fade, and this is when they were on New Orleans 24.
This was the two-minute drill the illegal hands to the face penalty.
10-3, yes. They're on the New Orleans 24, gets the face mask, gets moved back 10 yards, and on the very next play, gets called for illegal formation. So now they're in field goal territory on a drive they should have been in the end zone.
Yeah, and that definitely, the game could have been tied going into the second half, and that would have been a big momentum shift for the Jets going into the second half.
Imagine a tie game going into the half.
That would have been awesome, but Denzel Mims, after those two penalties occur, Robert Saleh calls on DJ Montgomery, who just got called up from the practice squad. And I was at the game. I'm like, who is this guy?
Right.
Who is DJ Montgomery?
Yeah, same.
And he's out playing our second round pick last year.
Yeah.
That's just an embarrassment for the 2020 draft class that's already taken hits. Like James Morgan, who got cut but got re-signed to our practice squad. Cam Clark, nowhere to be seen, got drafted as a tackle, supposed to be starting guard this year, has nowhere to be seen. And you have guys like LaMichael Perine, who hasn't played, and this game where he got a chance to play, he was terrible yesterday. And you had now Denzel Mims, who is now probably not even going to be on the team next year for a terrible performance.
The Jets have had an embarrassment of riches in terms of draft picks, and they still do this year. The fact that they have been able to come out with one, maybe two keystone players
from the 2020 class.
And let's talk over in Joe Douglas's tenure. He's had what, two drafts?
Yes.
So let's go last two drafts. One or two guys to actually come out of that and be cornerstone players.
So last year you had Becton and Bryce Hall.
Maybe Becton. Maybe Becton. Jury's still out on Becton. He's not on the field.
You saw Becton play well last year, but he has lower body injuries, which is a concern for somebody his weight.
He's also completely out of shape, too.
And he's out of shape, which last year I wasn't so concerned because it was upper body. That's not so concerning with a heavy offensive lineman like him. But this year, you finally see the lower body injuries. And Robert Saleh said he would be back right after the bye week, which was week six. And now we're in week 14, and he's on the field.
Not here.
That's a cause for concern, and I believe it's because of his weight that's affecting him so much. And yeah, Bryce Hall has been a very good corner, but that can't be your only plug-and-play starter from a draft class. You're supposed to have three to four starters from every draft class to consider a decent draft class.
Right, I mean, you can't clear house after this year. You have your first-year head coach. Mm-hmm. You have a first-year quarterback. You can't clear house. You have a new GM who wants a brand-new everything. You have your hands tied to Joe Douglas right now.
Now, I'm hearing that if the Jets don't do well next year, because I'm guessing this year is the year for Wilson to progress, next year is the year to finally build around Wilson.
Well, also, they have Wilson in the second year, Salah in his second year. They have a ton of draft picks, $70 million under the cap. They should make it some big moves this offseason and be a lot better next year.
Now, I definitely agree with that. But what helped out Douglas is that you actually see guys from the rookie class that are actually playing pretty well. Michael Carter, Zach Wilson, the jury's still out on him. He hasn't shown too much, but he's shown at least, I believe, something. And he's been very inconsistent.
I mean, there are moments yesterday where I'm wondering if he's an NFL quarterback. But there are moments I've seen, like, beer league quarterbacks make better. When he's trying to bounce past it to Braxton Berrios, was one of the worst pass attempts I've ever seen in my life. You just don't see that type of stuff from NFL quarterbacks ever.
No, and the thing with him is that in the last game, people even said on Twitter, like Connor Hughes and Jets beat reporters, they said he lost his confidence, and he's not throwing full body force because he is not confident and his ability to throw the ball to these receivers, which is a knock on Joe Douglas because he has not put a team on the field this year that Zach Wilson could be confident in and a team that he thinks he could win with, which is definitely a cause for concern.
But everyone said the same thing about Darnold, too. We're going to keep going through the cycle of them not putting a good product on the field for their young quarterback to go through and then have weapons to use.
Well,
we're gonna keep doing this for years and years. And eventually the quarterback has to show you something.
The only thing that's different with Joe Douglas and Mike Maccagnan is that Joe Douglas is big in building through the trenches. He's big in the offensive line and defensive line and winning through the trenches, which is how most good football teams actually build.
Right.
Maccagnan was big on getting the skill position players in, let's say, Le'Veon Bell at running back, CJ Mosley in middle linebacker, non-premium positions that you could easily get in free agency, but drafting a good wide receivers. Building through the trenches is important key skill positions that you're going to pay cheaply when you draft them, and then later on you could pay them if they're good.
That's a fair point, but I just don't see through 14 weeks mm-hmm. that Zach Wilson is anywhere capable of being an NFL quarterback. I don't see it. We've seen, one or two flashes this year? I've seen nothing.
Yep, and the thing is consistency with him. There was no
consistency.
He was actually consistently bad last
game,
and that was an issue. The Jets can't go 3-and-out on more than half of their drives, or else they're going to get, they're going to not win the football game, just to say.
But these were the last two games, the last few games. He wasn't great against the Texans. He wasn't great against the Eagles. He wasn't great against the Saints. I mean, there's nothing here that shows he's a good NFL quarterback. And, I mean, 19 for 42 on Sunday. 19 for 42.
In order to win the NFL, you have to get at least above a 60 pass completion percentage. You can't get below 50.
What is he at right now?
On the season or in that game? He's probably somewhere around
45.
Not for the season. That was his last game.
Oh, previous game, sorry.
That was his previous game. And that's just an embarrassing number.
ESPN doesn't have it up here. Which I can't find. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, I will say this. At least you find your kicker.
Eddie Pinheiro.
At least you got a kicker, right?
Coming into the week, we again went through the cycle of kickers again with Amendola failing. We got Kessman, who is a bum. He missed two kicks. Now we bring in Eddie Pinheiro, who I've at least heard of before. I've heard of Eddie Pinheiro when he was on, I believe, the Bears. So he comes in and makes three field goals, and that's big. The Jets need points somehow. We can't score touchdowns.
The stadium went into a sarcastic cheer when he made that first. I think it was a field goal, yeah.
The stadium always roars with sarcastic cheers. Like, for example, when Ty Johnson finally caught a ball. We standing ovation for Ty Johnson. He could catch the football finally.
And if we could wrap it up one more thing with Wilson, I think one of the things that Joe Douglas failed to do, and he tried to do it later in the year, but it didn't really work, was bring in a veteran quarterback to not mentor, but maybe start the veteran quarterback the first few weeks to let Zach Wilson get his feet wet. Now, I'm not going to sit here Monday morning quarterback this. I didn't think there was a need to. Normally, at least in recent years, if you're a quarterback taken in the top 5, 6, or maybe even 7, you normally, they throw you out there and you learn while playing. It's not like a late round quarterback. I'm gonna use Lamar Jackson's one. He didn't have a veteran quarterback, but he was taken number 30 or 32.
He was 32.
Exactly. In that situation, that is when you bring in a backup quarterback. But at number 2, the need for a veteran quarterback, I guess it's there, but I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that I wanted them to have a backup quarterback start week 1.
Well, the Jets definitely thought coming into the year that Zach Wilson was NFL ready. And you saw that. But the issue is that the competition that he played in college, you could say, is not the best.
Right.
Going to BYU, you're not playing like Clemson and Alabama. You're not playing those top schools.
Right.
He didn't really play great schools outside Coastal Carolina, which he lost that game. So you could argue that the competition has not been there for Zach Wilson, BYU. And you could also make the argument that the NFL game is a lot more difficult than the college game.
Absolutely.
And you definitely see that the game is a little bit too fast for Zach Wilson, where he's making dumb decisions, and that's really costing the Jets, especially in these close games where the Jets are going to start falling farther apart because Wilson's not making the right decisions.
Right, and I remember 2 years ago, there was a big thing about Justin Herbert coming out of the Pac-12, whether he could be a competent NFL quarterback while playing. Mm-hmm. Not as easy competition as someone at BYU would, but you know, Pac-12 is not a power conference that you see in college football, like the SEC or the ACC at some points, or the Big Ten. So that was a big thing on Justin Herbert. And I don't think anyone wanted him to have a backup quarterback. The only thing from 2 years ago that a veteran quarterback was going to be used was Tua, because he came off the injury. Now, I mean, that's when they used Fitzpatrick. But at number two, I agree with you. I don't think so. But you're absolutely right. The college game that Zach Wilson faced was much, much easier than you'd see, I don't know, maybe a Justin Fields at Ohio State did, or Trevor Lawrence at Clemson did. So, I mean, but look at how Trevor Lawrence is doing. He's not lighting up the world either.
No, and a big thing with these young quarterbacks is they think they have all the talent in the world, especially guys like Trevor Lawrence. They're not used to losing. Trevor Lawrence, I think, has lost 3 games combined between high school and college, which is absolutely ridiculous. But these guys think they have all the arm talent in the world coming into the NFL, especially Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
And they tried to do too much.
Number one and number two. And, yeah, they're going to take those shots because they think they have all the arm talent in the world. And it's the NFL. It's not – the things that fly in college not necessarily are going to fly in the NFL. And they're starting to realize that. And hopefully, as time progresses, they learn to take less shots and they learn how to play the NFL game the way it's supposed to be played.
Right, and we could talk firsthand experience from the two quarterbacks that we've seen with our teams.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have a quarterback that comes out firing from college, like I'm going to use the example, Justin Herbert lit the world on fire last year. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Joe Burrow, lit the world on fire. And even this year, are leading the teams to playoff games. And we're sitting here with both our teams, the Giants and Jets. Like, all right, what about our quarterbacks? What about our first-round quarterbacks?
Now, the thing with the Bengals and Chargers that the Jets and Giants don't have is I feel like they have better surrounding teams. They have better surrounding pieces to put around their quarterback, and the Jets and Giants don't necessarily have that. The Giants are, I believe, a year ahead of the Jets in the rebuilding stage, as they had their quarterback, and now they're putting pieces in place around, like, Kenny Galladay. They have Shepard. They got Tony. They have Barkley. They have pieces. The Jets, as of right now, got Zach Wilson this year. Hopefully, in these next, I believe, 4 to 5 games, he could show us something, and you could build around him going into next year. And hopefully next year, the win total starts increasing every year.
And for the Jets, I feel like they've hit on Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
They've hit on Michael Carter. Mm-hmm. I hope they've hit on Becton. Well, the jury's still on him. Yeah. And you need Corey Davis to come back next year and play well. This is a write-off of this first year. But next year, you need to come out there and be a good receiver. You can't have him do this again.
No, I think Corey Davis's tenure as a Jet will end next year.
Really?
I think he's done after next year.
See, I'm not familiar with the salary cap stuff. Are they going to get any sort of money if they cut him this year? Or?
I believe he has dead cap, but I don't believe it's that much an issue for them to cut him next year.
You think they can find someone to trade him to?
Depends. If there's a receiver that gets hurt next year and a team wants to win, maybe they call the Jets. But no one knows.
Right.
It's how the season progresses. And as of right now, Corey Davis, complete disappointment, leading the NFL in drops with 7, which I believe is most of the league by a lot. Mm. And Ty Johnson got 2 yesterday. They're not helping out Wilson, and Wilson's not helping out himself. This offense, with Mike White and Joe Flacco and Josh Johnson, has looked better than what it has with Wilson, and that's definitely a cause for concern.
And I don't think it's Wilson. I think we've said this many times. I don't think it's Wilson. I don't think it's LaFleur. I think it's Wilson, because you've seen quarterbacks play on the LaFleur and play well.
Yeah, and the offense yesterday, not at all. It did not look innovative at all, and you could attest that to being Elijah Moore, and Elijah Moore with his flexibility could be put in better situations than with Keelan Cole, Jamison Crowder, and Denzel Mims.
Right.
And you could really see that hurting the offense. And hopefully, I believe next week or the week after, we're supposed to get Michael Carter back.
Yes.
And hopefully Elijah Moore could play at some point before the season ends. But as of right now, with the weapons he has and with the amount of talent Wilson has right now, I can't see anything good coming out of these next couple of games.
Me, Chad, and Trevor and the gang will be back next Monday. But for now, I'm Joe Morales with Chad Rosenzweig. This has been the MDM Podcast.